right, we are live on Facebook. Hello, everyone. Welcome to tonight's episode of Margaritas with Margarita Chang, CFP Pro. You will meet Jennifer Rutley tonight, principal of Hidden Insights Group. She's out of Boston. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of the show on the Incandescent Radio Network and Incandescent TV. This is going to be such an interesting episode. You're going to learn about Jen's focus on increasing the number of successful female financial advisors and some of the common challenges that they face through their careers and more. So now I am going to throw it over to the host of the show, Margarita Chang. Take it away, Rita.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for being here with us for Margaritas with Margarita. I am so excited to have Jen, principal of Hidden Insights Group. So Jen, thanks so much for being here. I guess we'll start off. Why don't you tell us about Hidden Insights Group.
Thanks, Rita. Very excited to be here. And cheers, everybody. It's 5 o'clock on the East Coast, so margaritas all around. So Hidden Insights Group, it's a consulting firm that I recently started, focused on how we democratize financial advice and get financial advice out to more people. I think there's just a need to take care of folks. We don't get it in school. We don't learn a lot about how to everything from budget to invest. And so I do think there's a need for more of that, not only literacy, but advice. And I think the financial advisor is a big part of that. As we look at things like robo-investing and all of that, I think they're helping, but I still think the human is the piece of the puzzle that really brings that personalization to folks. So how do we start to how do we find ways to increase access to that advice? So that's what I'm working on. Looking at lots of different things, everything from diversity of how do we have more diversity with advisors to how do we automate and provide more ability for advisors to move away from back office work to really working with their clients, as well as working down market with tools like robo-investing that can help, make things accessible to folks who have lower income. And then I also think a really big important piece to this is financial planning and financial wellness and moving to a place where folks are getting that full financial plan or other things versus the transactional pushing of product, which I think the industry has kind of grown a bad perception around. So those are some of the things I'm working on. It's I think, really important work because there's so much opportunity out there for people to do better with finances, but it's a hard industry it's a big black box, frankly, for folks who are trying to figure out what to do when it comes to advisors.
Now, I appreciate that. And thank you so much for your research and your insights, because as you know, a lot of misconceptions and myths persist about our profession. So I know you've done extensive research. Is there anything, I'm sure there is, but what are some things that really surprised you?
Where I've been first dove into is this whole idea of the female financial advisor. So I started off with looking at a few different things, but that one, there seemed to be a ton of interest in it, as well as a ton of women who are willing to participate in research. So I think what's been really interesting and surprising there is just how women are so focused on relationships, right? And just relationship driven, and how that string kind of goes through all of the conversations I've had with them. Everything from why they came into the industry, why they stay in the industry. And also I think what's helped them develop personally, as well professionally, personally, as well as what's making them successful from a sales perspective. It all comes back to this idea of taking care of people and really being in relationships. And not to say that men don't feel that way, but I think as women, we tend to nurture, we tend to take care of others. And that goes all the way through into, I think, how women perceive themselves and what they're doing in the financial advice space. And I think that's really important in these days when we're starting to really think about why we're doing what we do, what do we do with our money, what's important to us. I think COVID has, created all kinds of new ways of us thinking about what's meaningful. And, money plays a big role in that. So to have a partner, someone who's helping you think through that, that really cares about relationships and cares about the individual and what they're trying to achieve, I think kind of goes hand in hand with how these female advisors look at what they do and what they're trying to do in the industry. So I don't know if it's a surprise as much as it's really pervasive.
No, yeah. I do. Well, I'm a CFP Pro, certified financial planner. And I know that with CFP Board, when they surveyed female certified financial planners, CFP Pros, people like, well, what do you like about your job? The relationships. It doesn't mean that men don't like relationships, but that's what we value.
Right.
So from your perspective, what are some of the common challenges that female advisors face throughout their careers?
So it's interesting. I think, you know, it is a male-dominated industry, as many male and dominated industries are. It's hard from a cultural perspective, right? So, you know, one of the things that I've, in the research I've been doing, one of the things we ask them is, what are some of those biggest challenges you had when you first came into the industry? And of the women I've spoken with, the number one answer was culture and leadership. So you would think coming into an industry, the most challenging things would be training, right? Sales, things like that. But unfortunately, it was culture and leadership. And when I ask them, what is their biggest challenge now? The second most common answer is still culture and leadership. First is administrative stuff, which I think makes sense with all the regulatory changes that are going on in the industry. There's a lot of paperwork. But to have culture and leadership be your biggest challenge when you're in an industry that has so many other things that you need to deal with is unfortunate. So I think that's a big one. I think there's also, you know, still the work-life balance piece. And I don't know that that's not true for men as well, but I've heard it over and over again that just trying to find that balance of how do I build, you know, a client base? How do I build a practice? How do I raise a family? And, you know, this is a thing that a lot of women run into because of the fact that we don't have a lot of policies in this country that help women with all of those things, plus having a job. But I would say with the female advisors, one of the things that's really come up for us is the importance of teaming and how being part of a team gives you that ability and that flexibility to have a child and go on maternity leave, right? Without having to lose your whole practice because you can't take that leave, right? And you can't hit certain minimums and thresholds. So work-life balance is a big one. And I think teaming is a huge part of that and that kind of culture. Other big challenges that I've heard of is just sometimes not having full transparency around the models that they're in and the affiliation models they've signed up for, and not really understanding what that means as far as succession planning when they start to get towards, you know, retirement and what they own and what they don't own. And again, I don't think that's a female issue. I think that's an issue within the industry as far as some of that transparency goes. I think mentorship is another big challenge for this group because there's so few women in leadership roles that it's hard to find a mentor. And again, not to say you can't have a male mentor, but because these women are, you know, looking for others who have experienced something similar to them, finding those women mentors is very challenging. There's only 19 to 20% of advisors are women. So, you know, and of that, how many of them are actually in senior leadership roles is not very many. And I think the last thing is lack of confidence. So, you know, one of the things we heard over and over again when asked open-ended questions around what were some of the things you've seen other women struggle with? Lack of confidence. Over and over again, lack of confidence. And I think, you know, there's lots of different theories as to why women have lack of confidence at times. But, you know, one of them is just when you're not surrounded by people that are successful that look like you, it's hard, right? It's hard on your confidence levels. So that's another big theme that we've seen throughout is how do we get women to the place where they can go in, have that confidence and feel like they're part of something that where they fit in and they belong.
Well,
that
thank
was a lot.
You
for, Sorry.
It was a lot. It's a lot to unpack.
Pulling it off.
No, it's a lot, but it's so true. So I know that we could have a weekly podcast just on this series.
Each
so
one
we
of
have
them.
To. We have to invite you back, but with regard to culture and leadership, what are some things that firms, I know it's not like instant ramen, but what are some things that firms can do in the area of culture and leadership to help support female advisors?
That's a great question, Reid. And I think it some of it depends on the firm, right? I don't think there's a one size fits all answer, but I think some of the key themes that we've heard from the women who are in places where they feel really supportive. It is that financial planning culture. So, you know, having a culture where you are looking more at that holistic picture. Like I said before, it's teaming. and making sure that folks feel included and part of a, you know, they're not off on their own trying to figure things out by themselves, that they have that support of a team. It is, you know, some level of, and this is where I go back to, I think it really depends on the firm, but the unconscious bias and sometimes conscious bias, right? And how in touch is the leadership and the organization with where there are opportunities for improvement there? You know, I'm not someone that says, you know, go run and get your DE&I training right now. I think, again, you got to assess where your organization is, what your, you know, what your, where your gaps are and what you're really trying to do, and then figure out what your plan is. Because again, it depends on how severe or not severe, right, the challenges are for that, for their culture. But I do think a lot of that comes back to leadership and, you know, are you seeing women in leadership roles? How have women progressed within the organization? And what opportunities are you giving to females within the organization? And are you even tracking it? Or do you have benchmarks? Or do you have goals, right? Some of that stuff is really telling as you start to think about, well, where do we go next in this journey?
Thank you for that. And then you mentioned a lot about teaming, and what is so interesting about the financial advisory space is I think about like when I started and they're like, okay, who are your friends and family? And I was like, I don't really have any friends. And the people are looking at me like I'm a loser. I'm like, no, really, I'm not a loser. I just have two kids under three. I don't really have a social life. But with that in mind, you talk about teaming. I'm not sure if you had this in your research or if it's more anecdotal, but how is teaming working in different, whether that's RIA or independent broker dealer, if you could speak to that?
Sure. So I think there's different types of teams and different reasons for teams. So, and again, we've heard from a lot of the women that, you know, some of that just depends on what you're looking for. But so we've got teams that can complement each other, right? What I would call as horizontal teams, where you've got different skill sets, right? Maybe someone is really good at investments, somebody else can do insurance, maybe you've got a tax planner, but you're complement each other. And you know, maybe someone is acting as the quarterback or the general contractor, but you've got that breadth, right? Breadth of capability all together. And you can learn from each other and bring the right person in. There's also vertical teaming, right, which is more the intergenerational, so that you have the ability for, you know, someone to have a client who might be looking for help with their child, right, who is an advisor that can come in that's a little younger, right, and that will help with succession planning. That helps to build up some of that trust for when someone does get to the place where they want to retire and hand off their clients. Both of those, even together, make a lot of sense. Also in the RIA space, like a lot of interesting things going on there where you've got team-based compensation models where, you know, folks are really in a formal setting where they might have a fixed, you know, compensation across the team, but then they have a variable compensation that sits on top where the team performs, and how the team does then, you know, is how everyone gets paid, which is helpful when you're recruiting and bringing people in, because there is that sense of I'm bringing someone into a situation where we are specifically putting them in a team. They are getting a salary. There is a, you know, a sense of accountability there, as well as that upside, whereas the team performs, everyone wins. So all of those different combinations, I think, are helping to change the industry a bit of being kind of the lone wolf who's out there trying to, you know, make their you know, monthly, quarterly, whatever goals, versus how do you do it as a team together? And I think it's so much better for the end client, right? They're taken care of in much more of a holistic way. They can be there for multi-generations. And yeah, I think it just makes sense in lots of different ways for both the clients and for the advisors.
We may have already gotten to this, but I think it's just good to hear it. What excites you most about your research and the work you're doing and how you get to make a positive impact on our profession?
So I think for me, like I started down this path, like I said, really looking at how do we get more people, more advice, right? And you know, for me, my background is more in the user-centered design space of working with people, users, if you will, and then starting to peel back the onion. And so, you know, I've started to get insights in the name of my company, Hidden Insights Group, starting to get some insights, but I think it's continuing to kind of get deeper and deeper to places where there's new ideas and new things that can be built. So, you know, right now, what I'm working on in my second phase of the research is trying to build out more understanding of what does good look like for a firm that wants to bring in women, because I think the automatic instinct sometimes when I share my research with groups is, oh, I'm going to go recruit a bunch of women. This makes total sense. We need more women. But there's that level of, if you bring women in and you don't have an environment that is actually going to be supportive of them, they're just going to leave, right? It's just a waste of time and money. So to me, the next part of my research now is building out, how do we help organizations who really want to bring in women really assess where they are in some sort of a more diagnostic way to understand what that path looks like for them. And like I said, it's not a one size fits all. So that's why I do believe working with the women that I'm now kind of in this next phase of my research and trying to build out a tool or some sort of, like I said, a diagnostic that really helps them, helps the firms figure out what their path is, I do believe will have some level of an impact to then say, okay, how do we bring more women in and how do we actually keep them in versus losing them, you know, to some of these challenges that we've spoken about. So yeah, that's what I'm excited about, this next set of research and getting it, right? Getting it and building a tool that I could then use with firms to really help do that, whether it's with financial institutions and having them help me get it to those firms. I'm also talking to different industry groups that could help me do that, as well as the firms themselves. So that's what I'm excited about.
No, I am too. I'm excited because it's one thing to recruit women into the industry, but we got to also work on retention. We have to multitask. And as women, we are up to the challenge. So how can we find you? Where can we learn more about your work?
Yeah. So, I mean, so I have my website. It's hiddeninsightsgroup.com. So you can go there. And if you are a female financial advisor, would love your help in this next round of research. So if you go there, it'll take you to the survey that I'm doing around what does good look like for women in these. And it's really all about, you know, what are the things that are most important versus the nice to have. So would love any input I can get there. But that's the primary is my website. And then I'm on LinkedIn. So both myself, Jennifer Rutley, as well as Hidden Insights Group, we have our own LinkedIn page. So that's been my primary focus at this point. And I will start to move on to other social channels. I just haven't had a lot of time yet, but I'm working on it. It's a lot of work getting the research done, as well as you know, trying to get everything out there. But I appreciate this. This is fantastic to have this type of platform to talk about it.
Well, no problem. I was just going to say, it takes a village, and we are going to help you spread the word encourage, and I'll fill out the survey, what good looks like.
Thank you. I would love
it. I definitely will. Like, this is accountability.
Yeah. I mean, we can add it to the site for this podcast too, or something to make it easier as well. That might be helpful for folks. So they don't have to hunt and peck, but we'll figure it out. Right, Hope?
Yes, we are more than happy to help you promote research. I studied positive psychology research at Claremont Graduate University last year, and actually have a tremendous respect for researchers and the hard work that it is, and just the hard work to find people to fill out the surveys, right?
Yeah.
Step one.
It is, right? And it's been, for me, it's been a lot of friends and family. So the more friends I can make, the more responses.
Well, Rita's wonderful, and we're more than happy to help you spread that out, and we'll have that conversation. We'll put everything in the liner notes on Incandescent Radio, Incandescent TV, and of course, margaritachang.com, where all of Margarita's fantastic work is showcased. So thank you, Rita, for this fabulous show and for bringing Jen Rutley on. Before we leave, tell us a little bit about next week's guest, when Dan Serino will be on.
So Dan with Change Finance is going to talk to us about ESG. What is ESG? I'm not going to throw a bunch of acronyms out with you. Environmental, social, and governance. So how we can have a positive impact on this world, change how we invest so we can change the world.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Jen, it's been lovely to meet you. Stay safe and well and warm in Boston. I guess it's pretty warm now in June. And it's Rita, thank you.
Don't worry.
Thank you as always. The Incandescent Roadshow is in Las Cruces today. So we will stay tuned for every Friday where we shine a light on financial planning so women can flex their financial muscles on Margaritas with Margarita. Thank you all for playing with us today. Have a wonderful weekend. Cheers. We'll talk to you soon.